We are grateful to your minister for allowing us the opportunity to be with you today, and we trust that the Lord will bless our time around his word. Psalm 42, it's a well-known psalm. Let's read from the opening verse. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. May the Lord bless these verses to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just stand together for a moment as we ask help of the Lord. Let you change your position. Just a wee word of prayer. We seek God's help as we look into his word. Our loving Father, I'm so thankful today we have the word of God in our own mother tongue. It's the entrance of thy word and gives light. And we pray for any who may be in this gathering or tuned in and don't know the Lord today, or they really don't know what they're missing. We pray for such that thou reveal thyself, show to men and women, young people, the importance, the urgency of making ready for the great eternity. Oh, we thank thee we have in Christ one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. For the child of God, my Lord, we've read here how the psalmist was cast down, was feeling discouraged, feeling in the pressures of the time he lived in. Lord, we can associate with that. We can relate to it. We pray that thou will come near even now, minister to us through this thy word, minister by thy Holy Spirit, and make the word to be a blessing to our hearts. Hide man out of sight. We pray, cause us to hear thy speaking voice. May thy word prove to be a blessing to our souls. And we pray that as a result, Christ will be glorified, even in our midst, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 42 and the opening words of the psalm. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The identity of the author of the psalm isn't given. Now, some people will say, well, it was David. We know that David wrote many of the psalms. But others will accredit the writing to Hezekiah. Now, the fact that the writer's name isn't given here, it doesn't matter. In fact, it's doing us a favor. It means we don't get carried away with the man, but rather, we can give closer attention to the sentiments he expresses. And you can see from what he says that his greatest desire is simply to know the Lord in closer fellowship. And beloved, can we say from the outset that if our hearts can't express this same sentiment, then we're either backslidden or not saved at all. And we don't say that lightly. How many of us today can say, and honestly mean it, my soul thirsteth for God? Can we say that? As you left home to come here this morning, what was your thoughts? Oh, it's Sunday morning. We'll go out of habit. We'll take our usual seat. We'll go early in case we don't get our seat. Or did you come saying, I need to meet with the Lord today? Was that your desire? Are you willing for God to change you, beloved, even before you leave the meeting? I'm not pointing the finger, it's three pointing back. This applies to the preacher as well as anybody else. Is he our greatest desire? Is it our longing to meet with him? This word thirsteth is very emphatic in the original language. It's first used over in Exodus 17, verse 3, where the children of Israel turned against Moses and they complained about the lack of water there in the wilderness. And that verse reads, the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Aye, some of you may have animals, and you'll know how much they need water. If they don't get it, they'll soon make a noise and let you know that something's not right. But imagine if those animals didn't have water for weeks on end. Can you just see them roaring their heads off? That word panteth that's used here, it means braying or howling. Literally, as we said, roaring their heads off. And that's the kind of thirst that the psalmist is describing here. Well, it's not for water, a thirst for God. Do we really know anything about it? Such are the pangs of longing after his Lord. He's in desperation to meet with God. How many of us know the experience? Here's a man, and for some reason he's been missing the presence of the Lord, and he must have him at all costs. Now, think back to courting days. Those of you who, maybe not that long married, maybe you're married for donkey's years, think back to courting days. Do you remember when you started to keep company with that person? If you hadn't seen them for a couple of days, weren't the days long? And you couldn't wait to be in their company again. I hope you still feel like that. How often do we pine after the Lord like that? I mean, with people who pine for all sorts of things these days. There's a whole lot of people blocking the M25 these days. It's all something to do with climate change. A load of baloney. What are they clamoring for? What do they expect us to do? That's another subject, and I don't want to get into it, but how many would block the road so they could get to church? Or if there was something hindering us? Would you do something unusual so you could get to God's house? Well, let's never treat the Lord lightly. Remember, he has saved you. He provides. There for you, that will encourage you by the way. The Lord has more time for you and me, beloved, than we have for him. And that's a truth we need to face. But if we don't long after his company, there's something wrong, isn't there? When you consider the blessings he gives, why wouldn't we want to be more in his company? Well, of course, at the end of it all, the promise of heaven. Isn't the Lord good? Hasn't he done wonders for us already? Notice here a couple of things I want to think on as we focus on this this thought. There's the desire of the psalmist's soul. He's seeking God. Verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. According to the English dictionary, the hart here is the name given to the young deer when it reaches the age of 5 years old. Don't ask me why that is, but that's the way it's explained. Now, it doesn't say here, as the deer pants after the water brooks, but the hart, the five-year-old. Does that suggest that a five-year-old can seek the Lord? He certainly can. We've children and grandchildren who were saved, maybe 3 or 4, and knew what they were doing. Isn't it lovely to hear a five-year-old at prayer? A wee child asking the Lord. And why does a child pray? He expects to get. How many of us grown-ups, we come to the Lord with our petitions. We don't really expect the Lord to answer. Shame on us. A little child believes in what he's asking for. A wee granddaughter, Bush Mills, and her prayers at night, she say, Lord, will you send us a new prime minister for Bush Mills? Now, the Lord knew what she meant. And the Lord answered prayer. And she's rejoicing. Just a child. A child will come, Mommy, I need. Or Daddy, I want, I need. And some way, whenever I was growing up, I never wanted anything. I needed everything. Even if it was only sweets. What do you expect to get? And how often do we come to the Lord like that? Isn't it a lovely prospect? Coming to one who has promised to supply all our needs. The innocence of children. Asking the Lord for blessings. An education to the rest of us. Well, we said the deer here, the hart refers to the five-year-old. But consider that a deer can live to 11 or 12. In unusual circumstances, may live to 20. But it means that 5 years could be in around half or at least a quarter of its life. Tell me, beloved, what percentage of your life do you spend hungering, thirsting after the Lord? Can you imagine this animal going for long periods without water? Picture those that you've seen in those nature programs. Picture this. These animals roaming in packs on the wide open terrain. Out there is really a case of the survival of the fittest. The amount of green vegetation may be limited. And even then, they don't have all those square miles left to themselves because they have to share the territory with other animals such as the lion, the tiger, the hyena, and so on. Animals that kill to live, that would eat the young deer. You can see the risk that these animals are in, and they live under. And, well, if the whole herd maybe has to run for their lives, they can be swift on their feet, but sometimes not swift enough, and the inevitable happens. But imagine them roaming for days on end, looking for water. Can you just hear them crying out? The place is so dry. And their thirst is only aggravated just for a simple drink of water. But put yourself in that position. The dryness, the choking in the throat, the pain that comes in the mouth for lack of moisture. This is how the psalmist sees himself thirsting again, not for water, but for the Lord. Thirsting after God. He must have the Lord at all costs. His existence depends on it. Is such an experience a common thing with us? You ever been, beloved, in a situation where you said, I must have the Lord. Give me Christ or I die. Have you ever been there? Oh, we know what it is to pine after amusement, don't we? We can happily run after the shopping expeditions, the trip to the seaside or some place of entertainment or pastime, but how much time do we give to looking for and longing after God? Just how much do we appreciate what He has done for us? Are we content with what we get in an hour on a Sunday morning? Or 2 hours if you come back in the evening? But what about Monday? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Are you still seeking the Lord on Saturday? Do you start every day with Him? You know, some people, in a desire to lose weight, they have a gastric band fitted. And not that I know much about it, but apparently it causes the stomach then to be decreased in size, and so a lot less fills it, and so they don't eat as much, hence they lose weight. But how many of God's people put themselves on such a skimpy diet that what they get on Sunday morning seems to do them all weak? That can't be healthy. Tell me, does your spiritual appetite match your physical desire for food? It would appear that the psalmist here has been put into a position where he's unable to get out to the house of God for public worship. Now, that could apply to David when he was on the run from Absalom. He don't be seen in public, for his life was in danger. It might, however, also apply to Hezekiah, since he lay on a sick bed and was sure he was going to die. Couldn't get out to the Lord's house. Isn't it the truth, beloved, that if you are unwell, and I know some are, and genuinely can't get out, and Sunday has to be a long day, we can't get out to God's house. Well, thank God if it is a long day. It's very worrying to see how some Christians can content themselves with just the one meeting on the Sabbath, and there seems to be no desire to meet with the Lord the second time. Now, we feel today for those who are unwell, and especially under the present circumstances, those who can't get out. And thank God for technology that allows such people to tune into the services and get a word from the Lord. Mind you, there's no substitute for being in God's house. But thank God that at least we have this means of access where people can keep up with the services. But we need to be careful that we don't get so comfortable sitting at home and watching online that we lose the desire for God's house. Too easy to cultivate a bad habit, wouldn't it? Did you know that Facebook are already clamping down on what you can put online? Somebody posted a familiar text of Scripture this past week. That verse that says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face." You know the verse. Somebody posted that. Facebook removed it. Beloved, the time will come, and maybe it's closer than we imagine, when Facebook will say, "Look, we don't want any more of this Bible teaching online. We'll have to stop it. We don't like your message. It's offensive." That day is coming. What are we saying? It means, beloved, guard your time with the Lord. Make sure you do your best to be in God's house. And let's face it, with the restrictions that are in place, and we're thankful for your adherence to them, aren't you safer here than in a supermarket? People don't mind running there. They're not coming to God's house. Why? Scripture says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." Now, some people say, "Well, the Bible doesn't command us to meet twice on the Lord's day." Well, if you read Exodus 29, you'll discover that God did command his people to make a sacrifice in the morning and again in the evening. And anyway, if you love the Lord, wouldn't you want to be in his house and in his company as often as possible? Never forget, God loves you. He has a greater desire for your company than you have for his. Isn't that a strange thing? Here's a man, and for some reason he's been missing the fellowship with God. Now, whether he couldn't get out to God's house, or maybe something had crept into his life and his heart's affection was away somewhere else, we're not told. But he has reached a point where the enjoyment of the communion with God is now the most urgent need of his soul. Give him his God and he's as content as any heart that at length finds the water hole and has its thirst quenched to full satisfaction. Deny him as Lord and his heart palpitates in his breast. His frame is convulsed. He gasps for breath. He's panting like one who has just run a marathon. You ever felt like that, beloved, about your Lord? Does God mean that much to you? Well, presumably he means something, or you wouldn't be in his house today. And thank God you're here. It may be so that you're so used communicating with the Lord, so used talking to him in prayer, so accustomed to sharing all your innermost feelings with him and adoring him that you haven't thought what it would be like to be without him. Is it not so that the next best thing to living in the light of his love is being unhappy until you are? You'll understand how those who abuse themselves with drugs are seen to crave after more. They have to have the next fix. Such is the effect of those things upon them. They just have to get more. Can't get by a day without another fix. The addict doesn't enjoy what he's doing. It's just that once the body tries those things, the craving is installed in him, and he can't get away from it. But when the child of God gets a taste of Christ, a real taste of the life that he gives, he must have more of him. Oh, that we might crave after him as the addict does after his habit. In his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Beloved, when it's as natural for us to thirst after the Lord as it is for the heart to thirst after water, then it is well. It is well with our souls. The desire of his soul, seeking God. But notice secondly here, the dismay of his soul. He's missing God. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? To thirst means to have a craving for a drink, accompanied by dryness in the mouth and an eager yearning for water. To be totally without something to wet your mouth for a prolonged period, well, I'm sure you'll understand, can lead to all sorts of problems like dehydration, which in turn can lead to a loss of the senses. But again, do we really know what it is to crave after the Lord as one craves after water? Such craving is a mark of grace. You know, if we did know this craving, we'd be in revival. My soul thirsteth for God. Not for the blessing of God now. Good as that is, much as we love his blessings. He's not thirsting for the Lord's ordinances, important though they be. He's not thirsting for that place where God's people meet, important though that is. He's thirsting for the Lord himself, for his maker, his redeemer. Why did he thirst after God? Because God lives and gives him life. He has something for the good of the soul that a thousand worlds would never give. And if you try to satisfy your soul on anything in this world other than the Lord, your soul will never be satisfied. The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." John 4:10. David said, In Psalm 63, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Oh, thank God we have tasted the living water, and we don't need to drink any more at the broken cisterns of this old world. But are you as thirsty today, beloved, as you were the day after you were saved? Do you remember that day? Remember the day after I was saved? I honestly thought I was walking on the air. Couldn't feel the ground beneath my feet. Such a burden had been lifted off my heart. It may be that this writer was in poor health, that he couldn't bring himself to seek the Lord in prayer. We can understand that. Beloved, misery of soul is not God-honoring. Isn't it so when you're under the weather? It's hard to pray. Yes, we acknowledge that. Prayer can be very difficult. You may be so thoroughly upset you can't even think straight, and prayer is the hardest thing to engage in. Then the devil comes along and says, well, you're not much use of a Christian. You don't want to pray. Well, of course, don't listen to him. The devil's a liar. But never let such occasions get you down, because I firmly believe in circumstances like that, the Lord moves the hearts of other believers to pray for you. He'll not leave you unattended. He has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll not leave you forgotten. And if you're in that situation because of health or whatever, and you really are struggling, you can't pray, the Lord will move somebody to pray for you. That doesn't get you out of it, of course. But he'll look after you, and their prayers will be answered. Whatever has come between the writer here and God, he has reached that point. He knows, he just longs to be able to get back to that place of fellowship, just to come before the Lord and be seen of him. And isn't he worth thirsting after? Let me encourage those who do pray. You seek the Lord for greater desire after himself and for your own spiritual good. Aye, and it's for the good of your children and your children's children. Because when you think of it, if parents can't be bothered seeking the Lord, you can't expect the children to do it. And parental influence is far more important than some people realize. Parents can get out of sorts with themselves, get out of sorts with the Lord. And the children are watching, but the parents forget. And they maybe start to criticize other believers, or criticize the church, or this is wrong and that's wrong. The children are listening. And we've seen this happen. The children lose interest. Well, if that's what parents think of the church, why should we be bothered? And they lose those young'uns to the world. Beloved, we have to be so careful. If you're careless, you can't expect the children to be careful with the things of the Lord. You owe it to them to be in the right place with the Lord. Lead by example. But notice lastly here, the delight of his soul is trusting God. Here's a dear man, and he's really going through the valley. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, verse 3. While they continually say unto me, where's thy God? It's bad enough when the child of God has to go through some dark valley in his spiritual experience. But now, here's the psalmist, and people are sniping at him. And they say, where's your God? As if to suggest the Lord has left him. In verse 4, he reflects on times that he used to enjoy going up to the Lord's house. And he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the joy of praise and with a multitude that kept holy day. By comparison, those were days of revival. Those were the times he rejoiced the most, but isn't it the truth? You don't miss the water, for the well runs dry. And some people can absent themselves from the Lord's house and not miss it. That's sad. And here's a man, and he's driven to tears because he can't get out. When we consider that none of us is getting any younger, it stands to reason that the future of the church, this church, any church, the future of it lies very much in the hands of the youth, the young people. I was speaking to one of our ministers one day, and he was telling me that 80% of his congregation will be found at the midweek prayer meeting. And most of them are young people. I'd praise the Lord for that. But there's nothing blesses your heart more than seeing young folk in the place of prayer, seeking after the Lord. Those who are older, you should be praying with and for your young people. You do what you can to encourage them in the things of the Lord. There are too many old fogies out there, and they've no time for the youth of the day. They're set in their ways, and they don't want to be disturbed when the young people come along and they're looking for something vibrant in the church. Now, I'm not suggesting we turn it into a circus. Far from it. When I see young people with a desire after the Lord, and they're getting involved in this outreach and that outreach, and some of the old fogies can't be bothered. That's not much encouragement to the young. They need to be encouraged. They need guidance. They need wisdom. If you have years of experience of life behind you, share it with them and use it to encourage the young folk. They need it. You read into the history of Ireland, you discover that just over 100 years ago, over in County Mayo, there was a thriving witness for God. Churches were preaching the gospel. Souls were being saved here, there, and everywhere. They were well attended. Hundreds of people were known to be walking with God. There was something of a breath of spiritual revival. That was only 100 years ago. But there's practically nothing in that county today. I've had the privilege of attending the ploughing championships down south every year for a number of years. And the last time I was there, before this COVID business came in, last time I was there, I had a lady from County Mayo come in to the marquee. Long story short, she sought the Lord, went home rejoicing in salvation. She was saved in the tent. But she said, you know, there's really no gospel witness near where I live. And the nearest she could find would be a monthly meeting in Athlone that had any evangelical input. Beloved, we take a lot for granted. We have a preaching house on nearly every road. And we have enough free churches. We're just talking to my wife coming in the road there this morning. We're living now in Donaghclone. We're only 15 minutes away from here. We're 10 minutes away from Lurgan. We're about 15 minutes from Portadown, 20 minutes from Hillsborough. Churches all over the place. How many are careless about God's house? God bless this witness back in the 60s and 70s. Many of you weren't in that generation. And that's why we say to our young folk, you need to be seeking the Lord for yourselves, for his blessing on your generation. Well, maybe not learn from the tragedy of County Mayo. What went wrong? Somebody somewhere lost interest in the gospel. Maybe somebody came in who preached a false gospel. And people were weaned away from the truth, and people got careless and indifferent then. Huh? What's the point in going to church? You never hear anything. And the whole thing has slid. Oh, thank God. Thank God for those who I even hear are walking with God. But who's going to keep up the momentum? I say with the greatest of respect, we're getting older, you're getting older. I say this to the young, listen, the future of this church lies in your hands, young people. Because when those of us who are older pass on to glory, if the young coming behind don't keep the door open through prayer and seeking the Lord and so on, then this place one day will be an edifice to decay, neglect. And will become the mock, the subject of mockery in the district. It has happened. It happens. And notice, just last week, there's a church building on the border, I think it's between Fermanagh and Tyrone. There's a church building for sale. Nobody needs it. That's sad. God has a house open in Dromore for the preaching of his word. Let all ages seek after the Lord, that this door be kept open. And you do what you can. The responsibility lies at the hands of every believer, no matter what age. Get to the place of prayer. Seek the Lord, that this door be kept open. The responsibility is yours. Get into the Lord's work now and encourage one another. Because there's always something for everybody to do. But do it while you have the health and strength to do it. Don't wait till you end up in a nursing home and can't go anywhere. I'm not asking you to do it for the minister's benefit. No, it's for your own benefit. And for the glory of God. Notice how the psalmist prays here in verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. And that term cast down, it means to be couched over, to be sunk in depression. It's quite emphatic. Probably make everybody around you miserable too. And the only way to break that is to be at the place of prayer. And the writer remembers times when he used to walk that hill country in sweet communion with his Lord. The memories of those times bring refreshing to his soul. And so he started talking to himself. He caught himself on, as they say. Matters were put right between him and the Lord. And he concludes the psalm by saying, look at me, all cast down, down in the dumps. And for what? Oh, my soul, get a grip of yourself. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's saying, I don't need these little hills now. I have a rock to stand on. I've got Christ. No matter how far down he may have been, he knows that the Lord never left him and never will leave him alone. And so he anticipates God's sweet presence to be his abiding portion. God's faithful, isn't he? And if his scoffers want to say, well, where's your God? He can say with blessed assurance, he's here. He's in the midst. He's walking with me every day. He's waiting to deliver me from your discouragements. That glad statement, faith closed the struggle. He's a victor in anticipation. His heart is firm. The saddest countenance, you know, is made to shine. And a man takes God at his word. He recognizes his emptiness, having been away from the Lord for whatever the reason. He casts himself upon the Lord and goes on his way rejoicing. Oh, beloved, did you come here this morning down in the mouth? Is life getting you down? I know you. Turn the news on, it would get anybody down. It's always gloom and despair. Now, who's on the throne? The Lord is. Yes, the Lord has allowed our present circumstances. And I know there's something out there, and we feel for those who have been genuinely affected by it. We're not always being told the truth, and I don't want to get into that. It's getting people down. But if it has got you to the point where you're losing fellowship with the Lord, do what the psalmist did. Give yourself a good shake. Cry to God that He'll give you that desire after Him that this heart had, this young deer, as it panted after the water brooks. Consider what the Lord has waiting for you in heaven. You know, I was thinking just before I left home, it's a humbling thing to have been chosen in Christ, to belong to Him. God, who is so holy, would lift a poor sinner and save him and fit him for heaven. That's a humbling thing. And I think the most humbling thing will be to arrive in heaven and discover what He has done for me. That'll take our breath away. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why? "For they shall be filled." Oh, may God create within us that thirsting after Himself just for who He is. God has blessings in abundance if we would just determine to come and be blessed. I believe He's more willing to bless than we are to be blessed. Do we need to give ourselves a good shake today? And you pray, "Lord, create within me soul thirst after Thyself. Lord, bless me and make me to be a blessing wherever I go." Close with this verse in Jeremiah 31 and 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Isn't the Lord good? Do you love Him today? Don't you wish you could love Him more? No, I do. We'll pray and ask the Lord to come revive your soul and give you that desire after Himself. And I tell you what, when the Lord does, this world will take note. Because when a man is truly blessed of God, he'll not be able to hide it. He'll not have to hide it. It'll be seen in his demeanor. And the world will take note. And when the world see that you've got something, then maybe they'll be ready to listen when you tell them of your Savior. And I trust the Lord will encourage you, bless you, and make you to be a blessing. And may you press on and prove His grace sufficient in all your difficult circumstances. May the Lord write His word today upon our hearts. For those who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord, you're invited to remain as we meet for a little time around His table. But for those who have to leave, there'll be opportunity to do so as we sing our closing hymn. I think it's 425, that'd be right. 411. 411, "I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean." As we sing this hymn, I'll be going to the door just to greet those who have to leave. As we said, if you're in fellowship with Him today, then there's a place for you at His table as we remember His dying love. Let's sing this as unto the Lord. Thank you.
Your heart, your soul, your soul.